Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Thanks for tuning in to Abiding in Christ. On the program today, we have the conclusion of a segment that we began last time. Our hope is that you'll find it challenging and informative, and that you'll listen to it with the knowledge that you can have full confidence in Christ, trusting Him as Savior and Lord. Again, thanks for listening, and now we join the broadcast.
Well, if we believe that God's Word is true, then all of a sudden it makes an impact on what we must do. And that, again, I will state, is the number one reason why a lot of people have trouble accepting the authority and trustworthiness of God's Word. I don't want to have to believe this whole book is true, because if it is, I got to change. I can't keep doing what I've been doing. I've got to live differently. My morals are going to have to be different. I'm going to have to repent of sin. It's very humbling to see what Scripture says about me. Because if I compare myself to other people, I get to choose which people, and I come off pretty well. I feel pretty good about myself. You know, I'm not perfect. I mean, nobody's perfect. What's wrong with the statement, nobody's perfect? Leaving God out of the picture, isn't it? It's leaving God out of the picture. Do you know anybody who's perfect? Well, just one. Remember what Jesus said to the rich young ruler? Why do you call me good? Only God is good. Jesus happens to be God. But the rich young ruler thought he was pretty good, till he got around Jesus, and Jesus said, "You do lack one thing. Go, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, you'll have great reward in heaven, then come follow me." See, we don't really want to hear that. So, Jesus had taught these fellas, this had to happen because God's Word says so. This had to happen because God's Word says so. This had to happen because it was written. He had done that over and over and over, and he'd spent the 40 days before his ascension reminding them, opening their eyes, opening their hearts and their minds, and showing them from the Scriptures that this is exactly what God promised. So, now Peter, having gotten the message, stands up. He's got about 120 people there. And he says, "Brothers, the Scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David." That is a beautiful, beautiful description of the inspiration of Scripture. It was the Holy Spirit, God Himself, speaking through the mouth of David. Concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus, "He was one of our number and shared in this ministry." I love that. Peter's not pretending that, Judas never really was one of us. He hung out with us, and we did things together, but he was really never part of the team. No, he says he was one of our number and shared in this ministry. There's a breach, there's a vacancy, there's a hole. Somebody who was the treasurer of the group turned out to be the one who betrayed our Lord. And this is exactly what was prophesied. This was spoken of in the Scriptures. This had to be. It was the plan of God, and now he has gone to where he belongs. Various people, when I was a teenager, tried to advance books, theories, and Broadway shows and movie, making Judas a bit more sympathetic. He's a misunderstood guy. We really need to see that, his heart was in the right place. No, it wasn't. He was an embezzler. He was a liar. And he was such a good hypocrite that he was able to hold a place of leadership. And the other disciples didn't imagine that he was the one who was going to betray Jesus. When Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, they didn't say, I bet it's Judas. They were like, is it I? They doubted themselves more than they doubted him. He seemed so trustworthy, so dependable, and he was a fraud. They found that out afterwards. Well, he says this had to happen. This is what was promised by God. This is what his word said, and God always keeps his word. So now, based on the scriptures, it is necessary to choose one of the men who've been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. That was considered by Peter to be a qualification for being an apostle. You had to be an eyewitness. For one of these must become a witness with us of what? His resurrection. What is it? I mean, by way of qualification, you have to have some history here, but what is it that we're going to be going out telling people? We're going to be going out telling people that Jesus is alive. That's our message. We want people to know that Jesus is alive. I pray that because of you, there are going to be people who are going to discover that Jesus is alive. That he's alive in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I mean, that's why we're here, folks. The Lord could have saved us and immediately taken us to glory. But instead, we're here as his body. He is incarnate in us. God himself living his life through us. And so people ought to see something different about us. You know, where do you get your joy? Why do you have such peace? Why are you not concerned about the things that everybody else seems to be chasing after? It's Jesus. Jesus is the one who makes the difference. So, he said, it is necessary to choose. Well, that seems like a good idea. So verse 23, they proposed two men. I think we should have headed this off. Somebody's going to get their feelings hurt. Couldn't we just propose one? If we could have kind of a closed meeting, please, and come up with one and then go to the body with that one individual and say, hey, the leadership has gotten together and we want to propose this one and we just need you. If you would accept this person as one of the 12, please say hallelujah. Well, there we go. Everybody, aren't we happy? No, instead, they proposed two for one job. That means someone's going to be rejected. It's either going to be Barsabbas, also known as Justice, or Matthias. I know both of those guys. They're both really nice. They are really nice people. I wouldn't want to hurt either one. Could we have 13 apostles? Couldn't we do something to smooth this out so that nobody has to get their feelings hurt? Let me be sure that we're clear about one thing. Jesus had already told, now remember, both of these guys, therefore, had been with Jesus from the time of baptism forward. And during that time, one of the things they had learned about what they could count on if they were one of Jesus' devoted followers is being hated, persecuted, and in many cases, martyred. Okay? Now, how do you feel if you don't get the job? You know, it's like, oh, man, you, God bless you. I'm happy for you to have it. I just think it's a pity that the church today is so much more like a grade school club than it is like the body of Christ. They were able to put forward two people, choose one by lot. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Choose one by lot, and the other guy doesn't leave and go join elsewhere.
Okay.
Right?
Well, they didn't want me, so I'm thinking, I'm going to move to Syria.
Okay?
I'm going to go across the street.
There's a town that I drive down 411, and I go through this town, and there are at least three churches that obviously had an historic relation to each other. I mean, there's this one, and then there's the group that broke off from them, and then there's the group that after they broke off from this group realized that they couldn't get along either, so they went over here and joined and started this one. Okay? I mean, have you ever seen that in a town? I mean, this is like, you know, Church of God. This is like Church of God in Christ. This is like true Church of God in Christ. Okay. And then a little further down, there's something like Harmony Church. You know. We just couldn't get along with those people because they don't get along with each other. So we're over here running our own little thing. You know, folks, I love you all. I really do. I love you. And I'm glad that we get to meet like this. But every now and then it occurs to me, what would happen if we all just decided to go and worship somewhere else one Sunday? I don't know that we could do that. I mean, those people might have some doctrinal differences with us. Do we not think that if we blew everybody up under a microscope here, we could find some doctrinal differences among ourselves? I mean, do we really think we've got it all together and that everybody ought to be just like us, and because they're not, we're not going to get with them? Well, how sad that would be. The fact of the matter is, I don't always agree with myself. Right? Sometimes I say, well, surely that's not right. I mean, we are saved by grace. Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, lest any man should boast. Our hope and our glory is in Christ. Not in ourselves, not in our getting everything right. Excuse me, sharpening my pencil a little more. Okay? I've got to be sure not just that no jot or tittle passes away from the Word of God. I want to be sure that no jot or tittle passes away from my views. I want a pencil with no eraser. No. I don't know what I'm wrong about. If I knew it, I'd fix it. But I am quite confident that 20 years from now, I will look back on the way I am right now and say, how could I have been that age and still didn't understand? Right? God's word doesn't change, but my understanding does. If I think I know now everything that I need to know, there's no point in studying anymore. I asked all of you to read the book, well, not all of you, but I asked all our folks to read the whole book of Acts this week. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands if you did it. I am going to tell you that God reminded me yesterday, Jim, don't ask them to do that and not do it yourself. So I read the book of Acts yesterday. Last minute, but better late than never. So, well, I've read it before. Yeah, but I read it all straight through yesterday in order to be sure that I wasn't being a hypocrite asking you to do something and not do it myself. And you know what? In the midst of that reading, I saw something I'd never seen before. I'm not going to tell you where it is. We're going to have to get to it. But it's like, as many times as I've studied it, read it, preached it, taught it, there's something new. How could I have not seen that? Folks, God's word does not change. God's word is perfect. It is true. We need to believe it, but God's word needs to change us.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do three things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So they proposed two men. And then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen. Did you see that? Lord, we just want to confirm your choice. Show us which of these two you've chosen to take over this apostolic ministry which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots. Now this just totally flips some people out. Casting lots? What is that? It's like rolling dice. I mean, not exactly, but why did they do that? Well, Proverbs 16:33 tells us that the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. What does that mean? It means that God is in control of seemingly random things. Do you hear that? God is in control of seemingly random things. So the lightning strikes and it takes out a tree that falls on the house and destroys the roof. And it was just a random event. Well, no, it wasn't a random event. It was actually caused by the conductivity of the various objects between where the static electricity made connection. Okay? Well, in a sense, but who set all that up? God. Can God make it go differently than it normally would? Yeah, you better believe it. God can cause it to pour down rain in the season when it's not supposed to rain, and when there wasn't a cloud in the sky, but the prophet says, so that you'll know that God is not happy with what's going on, we're about to have a rainstorm. That was Samuel who said that. We're about to get a rainstorm, and you're going to know that God is upset with you. And here came the rain and wrecked the crop. And the people said, and Samuel said, it's all right, God's still going to spare you. I just want you to know he's upset. Wow, so you think God's in control of the weather? Absolutely. But isn't there room for random... The activity of subatomic particles that are at work within the molecules, that are at work within the molecular structures, that are at work within all the different things we see around us, all of that is under God's sovereign control. So you think God makes everything that happens happen? No. I think God is in control of everything that happens. And if God decides he wants something to be different, God is quite able to affect that. But sometimes the way God chooses to do that is to set in motion a process that takes years. Remember in the Old Testament when God said he was going to destroy a group of people, but he says, but I'm not going to do it yet because their evil has not reached its full degree. Really? Would God do that? Well, that's what his word says. So these people, understanding that about the sovereignty of God, knew that they could submit their decision to his control by praying and saying, God, you please show us, and then casting lots and knowing that the outcome is going to be decided by God. Okay, I can see that philosophically, but let me ask you practically, do you think that that is an appropriate way for believers to make decisions? Okay? You know, flip a coin. God, if you want me to go here, make it heads. If you don't want me to go here, make it tails. I'm just going to flip a coin. Suffice it to say, that is not the way that I generally get direction from God. But I don't think God would have any problem causing the coin to land the way that it's supposed to if you don't know another way to get God's will in a matter. Now, that said, let me tell you something. If God has already revealed his will in the matter, and you don't like what he said, and so now you're asking permission to do something that, based on God's word, you're supposed to know is wrong, and you're going to flip a coin, don't count on getting direction from God. Well, I know that, you know, the Bible says I'm not supposed to steal, but I really want that. I can't afford to pay for it. So I'm just going to ask God if it'd be okay if I steal it this once. God's already answered your question. So if you are saying, I don't like your word, God, I don't want to do what you say, I want to do what I want, you are very likely to get confirmation from the enemy. But it won't be because God failed to control the coin. It'll be because God is saying to you, you don't want to do what I say? Let's see how that works for you. Romans chapter 1 tells us the tragic description of what happens when God's wrath is poured out. You know what it looks like? God says, have it your way. On more than one occasion in my life, I have wanted something to the point of not being sure I really wanted God's will. I knew what I wanted. I wanted this or this. And so I went to the Lord and I said, please, please, let me have this. And God said, okay, that's what you want. And it was like, there's something about the way you said okay that is unsettling to me. God, I really do want this, but I want you more. If you don't want me to have this, then I don't want this. And God said, okay. And it was gone. Let me ask you this morning, do you want to know the will of God? His word is absolutely perfect. He spoke through the mouth of his servants. Everything he says is true. Everything he says must come to pass. And everything he says we must do. So, if you want to know the will of God so that you can do the will of God, you can count on the fact that God will make his will clear. But if you would like for God to change his mind in order to accommodate you so that you can be God for the day, that is satanic. And you need to repent, which I've had to do more than once. And I would encourage you to discover, as you offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him, which is intelligent worship. His plan for you is good and acceptable and perfect. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, I'm so grateful for your word, and I'm grateful that it's true, and I'm grateful that it does not change. I pray that you would help us to believe what you say and to do what you say. We will be careful to give you the praise. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.